willing, listening ears. We pray that you'll hold his frog back. And we ask, Lord, that you will be amongst us as he speaks your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. When I was asked to preach on Proverbs twice in 3 weeks, I thought, oh dear. Because the way I've looked at Proverbs previously, not now, previously, is a lot of it is just the blooming obvious. You know, yeah, let's all do good stuff and let's not do bad stuff. Okay. Yeah, it's self-evident. But as I've been studying it, I realise more and more why this is in Scripture. And I'm going to start, as I did last time I preached, by looking at the first five verses of chapter 1 of Proverbs, because it gives us the context of why these are in Scripture. Why are Proverbs so important? And these first five verses in the Message version of the Bible say this. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so we will know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going, a manual for living, for learning what is right and just and fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes, give our young people a grasp on reality. There's something here also for seasoned men and women, still a thing or two for the experienced to learn, fresh wisdom to probe and penetrate. So that's telling us why we have Proverbs, why they were written down. The wisdom of Solomon, supposed to be the wisest man who ever lived, and he wrote down all of these Proverbs so that we will know how to live well and right. And there's something for everyone. The young, the experienced, the inexperienced. There's something there for everyone. And a lot of it does seem self-evident. Yes, it's it's wrong and it's bad to do bad things, and it's good to do good things. But what's clear is that we find it hard to live like that. We might know the way we should live, but we all of us find it really hard to do it. And Proverbs is a very condensed way of looking quickly at some very important principles. And what we're going to be looking at this morning is one of the most important principles, I think. It's what we say, what comes out of our mouth, and the effect that might have on other people, on relationships, on family, on churches. It's important stuff. And we're going to start with Proverbs 10:18. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. And what it's saying really is that if you hate somebody, hate's a very strong word. Let's just say you strongly dislike somebody. There are probably, for all of us, people who you might strongly dislike in your life. If you strongly dislike somebody, you either, it's saying, you hide it, or you're open about it. If you hide it, you don't say what you think, so you become a liar. If you are open about it, you slander people. Neither of those are attractive options, are they? And it's saying, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. And if you've got those feelings about somebody, they're the options, aren't they? You conceal it or you're open about it. The problem is feeling it. We shouldn't be feeling those sort of feelings about other people. But we do. We're human. What do we do when we feel like this? And the answer, as always with Scripture, is we turn to God. We ask God to do something to rid us of the feelings, rather than either lie or slander. And I'll just share something from my own experience of being in exactly this position. It's some years ago. I was in charge of an office, or a large office of about 300 or 400 staff. And we had quite a few trade union difficulties, and there was one trade union representative who made my life hell. Argue and fight over absolutely everything. Now, sometimes trade union officials are quite right to fight about things. I'm not arguing about that. But this woman would argue about everything, and she would question my motives on everything, and she'd tell everybody else that my motives were negative, that I couldn't be trusted. And it was really hurtful, because integrity was something I tried to pride myself on, and this lady was going around saying, you can't trust him. He tells lies, he doesn't keep his word, and it was awful. And I probably wouldn't use the word hate, but I did dislike her strongly. And I prayed about it, because that's what you do, and it didn't really seem to get any better. So I went to a very trusted friend, very mature Christian friend, and we prayed together about it. And at the end of the prayer time, he said, you should be praying for her. And I said, well, that's just what we've done, isn't it? I've been praying for her. He went, no, you've been praying about her. You've been praying about her, about the situation, and asking God to sort it all out. What you should be doing is praying for her, asking God to bless her, asking God to bring good things into her life, and really mean it. And it won't be easy, he said. You won't feel like you mean it when you start, but keep praying for her. And he was right, because I did. And I did eventually mean it. I did eventually want God to really bless this woman and bring good things into her life. And things got better. And when I look back on that episode, I don't believe God did much, if anything, in her life at all. God changed me. He changed my heart. He changed the way I felt about her. And that happened through prayer. And it made a difference to pray for her and not about her. And it eventually settled down into a reasonable relationship. But God didn't do anything in her life, as far as I could tell. He changed me. So when we feel hatred or strong dislike for somebody, the unattractive options of either hiding it and lying or being open about it and slandering people, they're not the road. That's not the road to take. We should bring it to God and say, God, help me with this. Help me with this. And ask God to change our heart. Because if our heart's not changed, we will either just lie or slander. And then verse 19 is a very straightforward bit of advice. I am going to go through each of these, but very briefly. Verse 19 says, don't talk too much. Sin's not ended by multiplying words. Talking and talking and talking doesn't sort things out. Prudent people hold their tongues. Now, prudence is a good old English word, isn't it? I have to look it up. What exactly does it mean? Discreet, avoiding rashness, were the two phrases. So discreet people don't talk too much. And that verse is simply saying, turn it off sometimes. You know, words don't solve things on their own. Endless words aren't the solution to lots of problems. Turn it off sometimes. And verses 20 to 21 give us advice about who to get advice from. Advice from righteous people, it says, is very valuable. And obviously advice from people who aren't is misleading. So be careful who you go to for advice. But actually what we're focusing on this morning is what comes out of our mouths. Are you somebody people come to for advice? And if you are, how careful are you about what you say? Are you somebody who, when you're giving advice, even if it's tough, sometimes people ask for advice and you give them some tough advice, is it coming from a place of love and care, not from a place of criticism? What comes out of our mouth is important. So advice from the right people is invaluable. Be careful who you go to for advice. And if you are somebody people come to for advice, be careful of the advice you give. Make sure it's coming from the right place. It's easy to just tell people what they're doing wrong, isn't it? But if we're doing it from a place of love, a place of wanting people to grow, well, that will probably be helpful advice. And then we go on to Proverbs chapter 11 and verses 11 to 13. And again, I think fairly straightforward advice. Whoever derides their neighbour has no sense, but the one who understands holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. And again, it's just a pithy way of giving common sense. We know gossip is wrong, but my goodness me, doesn't a lot of it go on? We all know gossip is wrong, talking about people behind their back, spreading rumours whether we know they're true or not, chatting about all sorts of things, grumbling. It's part of human nature, sadly, and we all do it sometimes. But this is underlining just how wrong it is. If you're trying to build strong relationships, whether it's at work, at church, in the family, wherever it is, gossip is so, so dangerous. It undermines so many things. And yet we get drawn in, don't we? We do. I mean, I have. You know, I think it's part of human nature. You suddenly find yourself talking about something or someone, and you realise, actually, this isn't very comfortable. And we should stop. Sometimes we don't because it makes us look bad in, you know, peer pressure and all these sort of things. Other people are doing it. If I suddenly say this is wrong, I seem prudish or, you know, whatever it is. We're easily drawn into gossip, and it's so, so dangerous. A gossip betrays a confidence. A trustworthy person keeps a secret. And then Proverbs 25, verses 11 and 12. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a ruling rightly given. I mean, that means it's beautiful. A ruling rightly given is beautiful. Similarly, a rebuke of a wise judge. Timely advice and valid criticism is invaluable, but do we seek it? And if we seek it, can we handle it? Valid criticism. Sometimes people telling you where you're falling short is really helpful if it's done in the right way. Really helpful. I can remember people in my life who've said to me, you know, this isn't very good, what you're doing here, you know, or you should do this a bit less and this a bit more. And because it's been said in the right way, and I knew them well enough to know they were trying to help me, they weren't being critical, it's really, really helpful. So valid criticism is invaluable, but do we seek it? Do we give it? Again, we're looking this morning at what comes out of our mouths. Are we people who give valid criticism, but from the right place? From wanting people to grow, wanting people to be better people, to be the best version of themselves. If that's our motivation, giving people critical advice can be really, really helpful. And sometimes it's your best friends who tell you things like that. Verse 13 is an interesting one because one of the translations I saw said, like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy employee to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his employer, which is an interesting translation. How are you doing on that one? Do you refresh the spirit of your employer? Is that what you do at work? Are you somebody whose words will do that? If you're like me and you're retired, you might not be in a work situation, but, you know, in a church situation, how do we refresh our leaders, the elders and the minister? Do the words we say refresh their spirits? How are we doing on that one? It'd be lovely if people thought that, wouldn't it? What we say refreshes them. Verse 14. That's a strange one when I first read it. Like clouds and wind without rain is one who boasts of gifts never given. And I think what it's saying in the agricultural setting of the Old Testament, if a farmer saw clouds and wind, he'd expect rain. And if he didn't get rain, he'd be disappointed. He'd feel he'd been hoodwinked. There's clouds and wind and there's no rain. That's weird. And that is being compared to somebody who boasts of gifts not given. I'm going to give you something, but then you don't. So it's about keeping your word. Again, what comes out of your mouth? If you say, I will do such and such, do you do such and such? Are you somebody who does what you promise you will do? Verse 15, again, self-evident patience and gentle speech can go a long way to building strong relationships. So cultivate patience, cultivate gentle speech. And I've said a lot of this is self-evident. And what Proverbs does is just remind us of it. As we look at these verses, we're reminded of these truths. They might not be revelations, you know, because we know we should do good things. But they just remind us in a very succinct way of these important truths. And then we go to chapter 26 and Nick's favourite one. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. Simple, isn't it? Keep out of other people's quarrels. You don't pick a stray dog up by the ears. Don't get entangled in other people's problems. And then 19, like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbour and says, I was only joking. I've heard that a lot over the years. Somebody will say something really hurtful. And they say, I was only joking. But it's come out. The hurtful comment comes out. What comes out is important. And it's basically saying, don't do that. Don't lie. Don't say something hurtful and then pretend you were joking. And then the last three verses we're going to look at, 20, 21 and 22, are all about gossip and quarrelling. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a fire dies down. If there's no gossip, there's less quarrelling. And we know it's true. If there are difficult situations, the more people mutter about it under their breath in small groups, the worse it gets, whether it's at work, at church, or whatever. People grumbling and muttering and gossiping just makes it worse. Without gossip, a fire dies down. And then as charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. If you're a quarrelsome person, if you're always arguing with people, it causes problems, it causes strife. And then gossip again. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels that go down to the inmost parts. So we're being told here, don't be quarrelsome and don't gossip. Don't fuel rumours. Don't make things worse. And the main theme of all of these proverbs is all about the dangers of what comes out of our mouth. What comes out of our mouth can cause quarrels. It can hurt people. I'm sure each one of us can remember a time, if we think back, where somebody's words have really hurt us. Somebody said something that's really hurt us. And they might not have even realised. Sadly, we've probably done the same. We've probably said something to somebody that's hurt them, and we might not have realised. But the good side is, I hope we can all think back to times when people have said things that have built us up, that have encouraged us, that have made us feel better about ourselves. Hopefully we can all remember times like that too. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. It's a strong image, isn't it? But it's true. The tongue has the power of life and death. We can tear people down with what we say. We can build people up with what we say. It's really powerful. And Jesus himself says in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 12, he said, what comes out of your mouth is determined by what's in your heart. What comes out reflects what's in here. What you say is what you are. What you say is how you feel and what you think. Jesus says, and we have to take notice of what Jesus says. What comes out of your mouth is a reflection of what's in your heart. Further on in the New Testament, in the book of James, in chapter 3, there's a segment that James just looks at the tongue and the power of the tongue. And he majors quite a lot on the destructive power of the tongue. He says it can set a fire that will burn a whole forest down. It's like the rudder of a big ship. It's so small, but it can turn the whole ship round. So we've got the New Testament, Jesus himself, and the book of James, underlining the wisdom of these Old Testament proverbs. Scripture is totally consistent. The message throughout Scripture is that we are to be careful with our words. We're to encourage people and build people up, not criticize and tear down. And how do we do that, really? Because I already said, you know, we do get involved to some extent or another, and some might be more than others, but we do get involved sometimes in things that we shouldn't, in gossiping, in quarreling, in saying hurtful things. How do we not do that? Well, the lovely thing about Proverbs, it isn't just a simple self-help book. Oh, just read Proverbs and don't do this and do that and you'll be fine. That's not all that Proverbs is about. Intertwined right throughout the whole book of Proverbs is stuff about what God's like and what God does. And it's no accident that these things are intertwined and side by side. This is what you should do. This is how you should live. This is how you shouldn't live. This is what you shouldn't do. This is what God's like. This is what God does, intertwined through all of these proverbs. And so if we do struggle, and I'm sure we do to some extent or another, we need to go to God with these things. We need, as I said earlier in the service we were doing prayers of confession, when we get things wrong, and it's inevitable that we will, we just go to God and we genuinely say sorry. So if we find ourselves in a quarrel or saying something hurtful or gossiping, and we stop and we go to God and say sorry, it's dealt with. We turn to God with our weaknesses and say sorry and ask God to help us. And the good news is, of course, every time we ask God to help us, he delights. He delights in helping us. He loves us to come to him and say, help. I really want to be a better version of myself. I really want to stop doing whatever it is. And this morning we're looking at words. I really want to stop grumbling. I really want to stop being critical. I really want to stop getting involved in gossip. I really want to stop saying hurtful things to people. If we come to God and we say these things and we mean them, it's genuine, God will help us. That's the promise of Scripture. We come to God, we ask God for help, we're strengthened and we're equipped. He wants us to be better versions of ourselves. I guess we all want to be better versions of ourselves, but we can't do it on our own. So I'd like to challenge ourselves this morning, me included, just to challenge ourselves about the extent to which we do get involved in these things, the extent to which where we are now today, the people we are right now, what extent do we get involved in being critical of other people, of gossiping, of saying hurtful things, of quarreling? Where are we to start with? And reflect on that, and then just simply ask God to help us to be better and to do all the good stuff that Proverbs tells us we should be doing. Building people up, encouraging people, being kind. What comes out of our mouth reflects what's in here. What comes out of our mouth? Is most of what we say kind, positive, upbuilding, encouraging? Is most of what we say critical, negative, gossipy? Or is it somewhere in between all of that? I just challenge you, I challenge myself this morning to reflect on that and to bring it to God, to ask God to help you to be better at these things, to be more of a person who encourages and builds up and says positive things to people, and not the opposite. And while we're doing it, while we're reflecting, it'd be really good to give thanks to God for the people who've done that to you and to me in our lives. Thanks for the people who have encouraged us, the people who have built us up, the people who have been kind. So as we come to God to ask to be more like that ourselves, let's give thanks to the people in our lives who've been like that for us. Let's pray.